Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it at Basic Gospel, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Do you characterize your Christian life with these words? It's a life of striving, of struggling to make it work. It's just a series of offering up dead religious works, trying to earn God's love and acceptance, or trying to earn acceptance from other people. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, I think we've got some good news for you, and it's the good news of the new covenant. When Jesus died on that cross, he ushered in a new covenant. Paul said, the old has gone, the new has come. And everything about this new covenant is better than anything that was in the old covenant. And boy, we need to understand that. And that's why Jesus said, on the one hand, and this is Hebrews 7:18, on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. Mm-hmm. Now, how many of us have ever thought, I mean, ever dreamed in a million years that that old covenant with the Ten Commandments as the centerpiece would be described as weak and useless? Hmm. Now, it's not me doing that, so don't send emails to me.
He didn't say that.
This is right out of the Word of God. This is out of Romans 7. This is Hebrews 7. Yeah. This is something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's God directing the writer of this book to communicate this truth, that the former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. What is God's desire for you? That you be made perfect. You can't do it through your energy, through your human effort, through your strength, through your intellect, through your human wisdom, through your reason and logic. That's what I was trying to do, and I couldn't make it work. That's why it was a constant striving and struggling to try to do it better. But better never came along for me until I understood that God had set aside the old so that I could fully embrace all of this wonder and excitement and life in this new covenant. And the reason is because the law could make nothing perfect. Boy, did I ever feel imperfect. Oh, did I ever feel like I'd failed and struggled and just failed and failed and failed and failed. But the truth is that because of the shed blood of Jesus, God made me perfect. He delivered me to the place where he wanted me to be. And where is that place? In Jesus. Before I was in Jesus, I was in Adam. I was in the world. I was in darkness. That wasn't the place for me. I was in the wrong place. And so I was doing things based on the tools in that realm. But God said, no, 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 I've never intended to leave you there. I'm going to pick you up through the shed blood of Jesus and deliver you. I'm going to place you into Jesus Christ. That is the end goal. You have been made perfect because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in that, I get to experience a powerful relationship with God through Jesus Christ the Son, and experience the fullness of life that God has given me in Christ. That's what God wanted. The old covenant could never bring that about. The old covenant could not justify us. The old covenant, the laws could not impart life. This is something only Jesus did. So when the old covenant fulfilled its purpose, God set it aside so that this better covenant could come along, a covenant in which we could draw near to God and receive the very resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It's good news, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And when I think about all my days under the old covenant, trying my best to behave, the realization that I could never, I dared not draw near to God. Because people who did that under the old covenant died. And now here we are. Look at this. We draw near to God because of Jesus. I mean, there's a change there.
That's right.
That is a complete change in covenant, in law, in participants, who's doing what, with whom, and why. All of it is different under the new covenant.
So we draw near and we receive life.
Yes.
Under the old covenant, we would never draw near. So we draw near, we receive what God has us. Grace pulls us close. We receive what God has for us in Jesus, life, forgiveness, freedom, all of those wonderful things. But then Christ comes to live inside of us. So from that point forward, we live near to God.
Yes.
We are always near to Him. Why? Because He is in us.
Yes.
And we have been joined together with Him as one. We are in unity with God's Spirit. That's good news. So once we draw near, once this gospel draws us near, then we are near forever.
Yes.
And we don't have to say, hey, I feel a million miles away, I need to draw near. No, I just need to align my mind and these crazy feelings of mine with what is truth, that Christ is near to me. He is so near that He's in me. He's living inside of me.
Yeah.
And that's this good news of this new covenant.
And it's a message that we just really, really love and are honored to share with you. And friends, if in case you haven't heard, we're doing something a little bit different with our donors this month. It's centered on a CD we call We Are New Covenant. We're including multiple copies, five in fact, so that you can put the good news of the gospel directly into the hands of those you love and care about. So join us, friends, and let's get this message out far and wide. Donate at basicgospel.net or by using the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, of course, you can always donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Come on, help us get this message out far and wide. Request your five copies of We Are New Covenant as you make your gift this month.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Good afternoon. It's so good to hear your voices again in person. Appreciate everything you do. And I'm having kind of a dilemma. I'm just wondering how you deal with things like this. I have a friend of mine. She writes a blog, and she uses biblical scriptures, and she's saved, and she talks about salvation, but she's so hard on saved people. Then she uses people and lies, and she, you know, it's just, see, when somebody's in the world, you know you can kind of deal with that. But when you're dealing with people who profess and you believe they're saved, but then they do things that's contrary to what a Christian would do, I just want to know, how do you kind of deal with that, or do you deal with it and try to dealing with them on a Christian basis, knowing that those things might happen? And I just want to know, because you see so many people now who are saying they're saved, but like Bob George used to say, you profess Christ, but you're not possessed by Christ. But, you know, it's not my job to determine whether they're saved or not. But I'm just wondering, how on a human basis do you kind of deal with that?
Well, it's a great question, Andrew, because, you know, a part of living in this world and living out who you are, is that's all going to happen through relationships, through people that we encounter, people that we know. And one of the things that we see in the New Testament, especially how Jesus dealt with people and certainly how the apostles dealt with people, they look below the surface. So to, you know, the religious self-righteous, Jesus tried to help look below the surface and say, hey, you look all clean on the outside, but what's really going on in the heart? And I find that just one of the best approaches in any given situation, is to really say, hey, I know what you look like and what you say, but tell me what's really going on in the heart. I've had struggles in trying to live out who I am in Christ. Do you find yourself having struggles to live out who you are in Christ? Do you have struggles in trying to match what you say with how you actually live? And I think at that point, then you have some points of connection. You've identified with them, and then you can start talking about this great gospel message of Jesus Christ and how it can compel us beyond those struggles, and that we can actually see and experience the reality of His life being lived through us. So I always say, you know, try to go to the heart. Try to speak with people heart to heart And I think that's always the best way as far as relationships are concerned.
But even if they profess Christ and you still speak to their heart because they say that they know Christ, so it's kind of hard to get past that barrier.
I think that's where you bring up your own struggles. That's where you try to lay out some stories that they can identify with. So like I said, you can say, hey, you could just ask some questions. Here's one of the things I struggle with. Do you struggle with this? Do you struggle with what you know to be true and trying to live it out on a day-to-day basis? And how do you deal with that? And so now you're on a heart level.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but they think that they do. So I could continue to, deal with that struggle and trying to do what you say and then just trying to make it plain. But that happens so much. We have so many, I guess, now self-righteous people, and they're going around saying and doing anything, and they think they got a special connection with God, and God gives them a carte blanche.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to convince somebody, and you can try to bring them to a point where they see, but sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. So like I said, the best way I can tell you what's worked for me in those type of situations is to throw some stories out there of things that you're struggling with, and then just ask questions. Do you struggle with the same thing?
Okay.
And if there's an openness there, then you have a conversation. If there's not an openness, then there's not a conversation. You can't really go much further than that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And God will take care of the rest of it.
Right.
He's going to take care of all of it.
Yes.
Not the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how does he deal with you when you behave in an unchristlike way?
My conscience gets me. But this person acts like they have no conscience. They don't see themselves doing wrong.
Yeah. So that you can't fix that, can you?
No, you can't. But God can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He will.
So,
give him time.
So be a friend. Recognize that God's not counting that sin against that person, that he has reconciled that person unto himself. And so let that be the foundation that you're standing upon.
Amen.
As far as that relationship is concerned. Thanks, Andrew. Great question. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to hear from you.
God bless.
Yes, indeed. Coming around to 13 past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, and if you, like Andrew, would like to speak directly with us, this is your opportunity, 844-322-2742. If you hear a delayed broadcast, use that same number and record your question. Leave us a voicemail with your question, 844-322-2742. Guys, a question from Pat. A listener has a friend who made this statement to her. Unfortunately, we have a lot of preachers that preach once saved, always saved, and then people think they can go out and do whatever they want and still make it into heaven. That's just not true, she says. You can't serve two masters, according to Matthew 6:24. You can lose your salvation if you don't repent and get it right with God. Narrow is the way that leads unto life, and very few will find it, according to Matthew 7:14. So this listener wants to know what we think about her friend's assertions.
Well, what I think about her friend's assertions is that she's not making those assertions based on truth. Because if you really know what salvation is, if you really know what it means that God has saved you by grace through faith, you will never, ever, ever wonder if you can lose it. Because it's a work of God. It's a work of God that takes those of us who were dead in sin and makes us alive together with Christ. It's a work of God that releases us from the power of sin and death in forgiveness of sins, in redemption, price that he's paid for us. It's the work of God that sends God's Spirit to take up residence in our hearts, sealing us for the day of redemption. It is the work of God that is going to continue to do in and through us so that we can do of his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. So it's all on God's shoulders. When he says, I'm going to save those who come to Jesus by faith, guess what he does? He saves those who come to Jesus by faith, and he gives them eternal life. And this is a complete salvation. This isn't a temporary salvation, and it's not a salvation that has strings attached. It is a salvation that is rooted in his power and his faithfulness and his love to carry it out. Mm-hmm. And he's carried it out, and once we're saved, we are in Christ's hands forever, and we are in the Lord's in God's hands forever. No one can snatch us away. And if we say we can walk away, guess who goes with us? Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
Why? Because we are his. We're marked out as his. So we've repented. That's part of this conversion process. Our minds and our hearts have been moved away from this idea that life could be found in the world, and it's centered right upon Jesus, where true life and the only life can be experienced through faith in him. And once we have that life, Richard, as you've come to love in Hebrews, it's an indestructible life.
Yeah.
His life is an indestructible life, and he has given us his life. And so if his life is indestructible, our life is indestructible. So we can know with full assurance, full of confidence, that when we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
But you got to see what they're complaining about, too. On the other end of the spectrum is these people who think they can do anything they want. Well, they don't understand salvation any better than the person who thinks they can lose salvation. Both extremes are wrong, and Satan is just pleased as punch to have us at those extremes arguing with each other. It's only Jesus.
Right.
My behavior doesn't save me. My behavior does not cause me to lose salvation. But my behavior has got to be submitted to the indwelling Holy Spirit to say, teach me how to do this, Lord, because I can't.
Yeah. Well, and the idea that, you know, so many hold is that salvation is something that happens to us externally.
Yeah.
It's not something that happens to us internally. So we receive a golden ticket that grants us entry into heaven when we die. Well, that's a teaching that leads to licentiousness. That's mm-hmm. a teaching that says, just go out and do whatever you want, but just remember to keep the golden ticket.
Yeah, so whenever the cops come, you wave it at
right.
them. No, it's not the way it works.
So the old has gone, the new has come. So we have a new Lord, a new the only Savior. We have a new heart. We have a new covenant. And new desires.
Mm-hmm. We're a new creation.
We're a new creation. And so that new creation is equipped to trust Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to do at the very core of who we are. So all those other desires are just desires of the flesh. That's not us. That's just the flesh that's hanging on. Mm-hmm. And one day that flesh isn't going to hang on anymore. We're going to get new bodies. So we have to learn how to really listen and keep in step with what the Spirit is doing. He's leading. For every child
yes.
of God, the Spirit of God is leading us. That's just truth. We don't have to figure out how to make that happen. The Spirit of God is just leading us. So he's putting new desires into our heart, like before when we were lost, when somebody did something to us, our desire was to get even. That's what we wanted to do. Now that Jesus lives in us, our desire is to forgive and be reconciled. Who put that there?
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit did, and it's there. And so we keep in step. And so instead of submitting to that desire of the flesh, we submit to the desire of the Spirit. We go and forgive and be reconciled to that person. We say, oh, my gosh, that is just fantastic. That was good for me and good for this person and good for us together. And so we just have to realize that this is an internal change for an eternal life. That's just the way it is. So once you understand the nature of salvation, you'll never ask that question again.
Yeah. Bob, let's talk a little bit about Israel. We are only 74 days away from what some will feel is the journey of a lifetime.
Well, oh my gosh, I have a friend that's over there now, and he's posting pictures every
yes.
day, and man, I just can't wait to get over there. And it is a fabulous, fabulous trip. There's so much that you're gonna learn. You're just gonna absolutely be overwhelmed being in the spots where Jesus ministered, where he healed, where he prayed, and even more, where he bled and died to purchase your redemption.
Yeah.
And even more, to see where he came alive mm-hmm. and gave us hope and gave us that reality that we too are alive in him. So there's so much that you can learn through a trip like this. You don't have to go to Israel to enjoy a relationship with God. You don't have to make trips like this. But I guarantee you, from everyone that I've been on and everyone that's been with me on these, a trip to Israel makes a huge difference in a person's life. So come join us. We would love to have you with us. We just have a few spots remaining. So if you can make the trip, visit basicgospel.net, click the banner at the very top of the page, look at all the details, May 25th through June 6th, look at the itinerary, all the spots we're going to visit, and then jump off the fence. Come join us. We would love to have you.
Again, the banner at the very top of the homepage at basicgospel.net, Israel 2019. Join Bob and those that will be present. You're going to be blessed out of your socks. And, guys, a question from Stevie. It says, this week I asked a few of the young men in my youth group to give me a concise explanation of how to be saved. I told them to tell me briefly, as if I had never heard the gospel before. I was curious as to how you would answer the same challenge.
Well, that's a great question, and it all gets back to the story. Well, what's the story? What is the story that saves? The good news, the gospel that saves, and it gets down to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I would want to say to somebody, Christ died for your sins, and he's not counting your sins against you. The blood that he shed was sufficient to take away every one of your sins, to remove any barrier, any obstacle that stood between you and God. And he was buried so that this new will could go into effect. And then he was raised back to life so that you could have life everlasting. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is receiving the very life of Christ.
Yeah.
And you may be sitting here today feeling guilt or feeling shame or those sort of things. You may be feeling emptiness deep within your soul. Well, Jesus Christ is the answer. And today, simply open up your heart and receive him. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That is the promise of God. And it's as simple as that. And somebody listening right now, that may have pricked their heart, and they're saying, I want to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, simply say yes to Jesus. Open up that heart, receive him, and as the Bible says, you will be made new in him.
And that is good news, that his life is available for us. Friends, we invite you to share that life. Join us and help get this message out far and wide. That's why we're offering 5 copies of our CD, We Are a New Covenant, when you make your March gift to Basic Gospel. One of the best ways we know of to help you, our supporters, to get that message out is by sending you 5 copies of the CD message called, as I said, We Are a New Covenant, to put straight into the hands of those closest to you. Make your March gift at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And Canadian friends, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada and click donate as well. And when you do, request your 5 copies of We Are New Covenant and help get the message out. A reminder, too, that the listener line is always open for any question that you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. Call anytime, day, night, weekend, anytime at all. Again, that's 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and there are several ways that you can get that question to us, by email at bob@basicgospel.net, or again, by phone at 844-322-2742. Just leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you and answer your question here at Basic Gospel. Well, now for Bob. Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.